Thank you. I welcome you all to the 7th Annual Honor Awards Ceremony of the United States Information Agency. It has been said that we hold this event every year, once a year, to see who is important enough to be able to take a few hours off in the afternoon to come over here and who isn't. But seriously, we all work hard, I think, year in and year out for USIA. We work some perhaps labor a little more equally than others, and the purpose of our being here today is honor those who do labor a little more equally than others. Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce the Director of the United States Information Agency, Mr. Edward R. Murrow.
Fellow workers, we are honored today by having with us three members of our advisory commission, and we are in their debt for sound counsel and advice. I would like to introduce them at this time, Mr. Leonard Wrench, the chairman. Mr. John Siegenthaler. And Mr. Sig Lyman. Since I observe a few new faces this year, perhaps you will give me an opportunity to introduce some of my senior colleagues. They too have somehow been able to take part of the afternoon off. You have met Mr. Donald M. Wilson, the deputy director. I would suggest that you withhold your applause or your jeers until the end. Mr. Reed Harris, my executive assistant, Mr. William Green, special assistant to Mr. Whitman, Robert M. Evans, Thomas Sorensen, deputy director, G. Lewis Schmidt, assistant director for administration, Chester H. Opel, assistant director for Europe, Houston A. Ryan, assistant director for Latin America, Robert A. Lincoln, assistant director Near East and South Asia, Edward V. Roberts, assistant director Africa, W. Kenneth Bunce, assistant director Far East, Henry Loomis, director of the Broadcasting Service, Gordon A. Ewing, director Information Center Service, George Stevens, Jr., director Motion Picture Service, Ray Macklin, Director of Press and Publication Service, Alan Carter, Director Television Service, Lowell Bennett, Director Office of Public Information, Stanley Pleasant, General Counsel, Sanford S. Marlowe, Director Office of Private Cooperation, Orrin M. Stevens, Director Research and Reference Service, Paul J. McNichol, Director, Office of Security. Lionel S. Mosley, Director, Personnel Division. The reason Mr. Mosley's name appeared last on the list was that he was the one who drew it up. This once-a-year pageantry is, I think, one of our better indulgences. The pace of our work, the multiplicity of our jobs, the variety of our tasks, all conspire to confine to rare occasions those opportunities when many of us can gather to meet with our colleagues. This occasion today is both rare and fitting. We gather to pay tribute to those among us whose contribution this past year to our common effort has risen to uncommon heights. In view of the competence I find among you and the general level of accomplishment in USIA, I deem these awards high praise indeed. Our appropriation hearings before the Senate will start in the course of the next week. As you, of course, know, I have made protest, both public and private, at the insufficiency of consideration given us by the House of Representatives. We plan appeal of such matters to the Senate, and I shall not burden you with consideration of those issues here, other than to make comment upon one purely peripheral matter. Now, there have been comments in the press of recent date over my imminent departure from this agency, spurred perhaps by the enthusiasm of those who urge my retirement to the anonymity they contend I so richly deserve. I have never dignified such speculation by replying to it, but here among the agency family, I want merely to remark that I am not altogether a stranger to disappointment. We have a job to do, you and I together. If we fail in our efforts to secure adequate financing this year, we'll try again next year. I take it that it is part of my job to try to create a climate in which creative people can work and to provide you with the tools required for the job. This has been a busy year for our agency. Last fall, we mobilized our resources to play a vital supporting role in the confrontation over the intrusion of Soviet missiles into Cuba. Last spring, we inaugurated a whole new complex of shortwave transmitters in North Carolina, a complex that doubled the power of the Voice of America. In May, we mobilized our resources again to tell the world of the feat of astronaut Gordon Cooper, and we helped achieve for this event a greater dramatic impact overseas than had been recorded for any previous space flight. That this should have been a busy and successful year is appropriate, for it marked the completion of the first decade of USIA as an independent agency. As many of the veterans among you know, USIA has matured and strengthened immensely during these tumultuous past 10 years. Thanks to the contribution of each of you and of your colleagues at our posts throughout the world, it has become a highly effective national instrument to gain overseas understanding and support for United States policies. I have been with you for about a quarter of this past decade. In this time, I have found our colleagues to possess professional skills and a degree of dedication unsurpassed either in the government or in the private sector. I have said I would be willing to have our people compete with their counterparts outside the government in news gathering, radio, television, publishing, exhibits, and other callings. Expertise in the art of communications and in the even more delicate art of persuasion is not easy to come by. Products and techniques that succeed easily in one place are sometimes barren in another. Neither is it easy to accommodate to languages, climates, and cultures far different from our own. Both professionally and personally, it has been most gratifying to see at first hand the work of our officers and staffs on the three continents I have so far been able to visit. It has been equally gratifying to witness the effective use they make abroad of the materials we here in Washington produce for them. We cannot know what the future holds. We do know, however, that change is the only constant in world affairs. And we know our agency is charged with helping to fashion that change. The mandate we have from the President clearly tells us what it is he wants of us on behalf of the American people. He wants specific effort in specific areas, both geographic and conceptual. He expects us to do the things that diplomacy and force alone cannot, to change the minds of men in their best interests and in ours. He has not charged us to win a total ideological war, nor to win all the lesser ideological arguments. He expects us to apply our best efforts to succeed in those areas where it is possible for us to succeed, and in those areas that are essential to our national interests. This calls for a continual evaluation of our techniques and our output, day by day and tool by tool. It calls for a sharper cutting edge rather than a wider swing. And as we prove our worth with what we have, it will become easier to justify what we need. In the continuing contest with communism, we know that our adversary is concerned at our growing success. The past weeks have echoed a whole range of outrage and dismay from behind the Iron Curtain. Dismay at the ebbing effectiveness of the voices of totalitarianism, outrage at the quickening flow of light we are bringing to truth once obscured in dark places. During the past 6 months, the work of this agency has been subjected to more sustained, high-level attack by communist spokesmen than at any time in its history. We should all be somewhat proud of this. It is a tribute to our increasing effectiveness. Communist spokesmen have repeatedly said there is to be no ideological coexistence. This means continued and accelerated competition in the peaceful confrontation of ideas. This is a competition we welcome. The coalition of communism is not our only adversary. Even were its energies dissipated and its voices mute, this agency would continue to be charged with a great responsibility. We would still have the mission abroad of combating ignorance and fear, suspicion and prejudice. This struggle, as you well know, will not be won in a single day or indeed in a single decade. It is long-term, perhaps permanent. Only our best efforts and fortitude will guarantee that we will not fail. Scoffers think that a free world is only a dream, and they are right. It is the American dream, and we in this agency are helping to make it come true. We are here today to recognize and commend some of those best efforts of the past year. And before the awards are made, I should like to read you a letter of recent date from the President. It reads as follows. I am delighted to send the United States Information Agency my warm congratulations on what I understand to be a double celebration. The 10th anniversary of USIA's existence, to be combined with the ceremony honoring USIA officers for distinguished, superior, or meritorious service. It seems to me wholly appropriate to join these two occasions. The achievements of the men and women you honor this year are only samples of the contributions USIA has made to the strength and security of our nation over a decade. During these short years, USIA has become an integral and indispensable arm of our government's overseas operations. Using the weapons of communication, persuasion, and fact, it has admirably served and advanced national objectives in foreign policy. In the critical times of the last 2 years, the agency under your leadership has demonstrated an imagination, skill, and maturity that would do justice to an organization with many decades of experience rather than one. I salute USIA on its 10th birthday. I am confident that USIA will continue to play a vital and responsible role in the uncharted decades still to come.
I will read the names of those who are to receive meritorious service awards. Will each recipient rise when his name is called and come forward? You will note that there are some awards listed on the program that I will not present here. This is because the recipients are in the field, and we feel it is more appropriate that the awards be presented there. Applause should be withheld until all the names have been read. Charlotte C. Aiken, IRS Library.
I think probably you can.
Leif F. Allen, IPS Latin America Branch. Thomas E. Barefoot, Jr., IOA, Budget Division. Evelyn B. Bell, IPS, America Illustrated Branch. Fred K. Blackburn, IBS, Greenville. Clarence A. Canary, Office of Assistant Director, Latin America. Alan Carter, Television Service, the award for his work in New Delhi. Howard G. DeLong, IBS Technical Division. Jerry C. Doster, IPS Publications Division, for his work at RSC Manila. Virginia C. Geiger, CU, Office of Far Eastern Programs, State Department. Jane S. Grimes, IGC. Robert C. Hickok, ICS, Interagency Exhibits Activities. John V. Hughes, IOS, Personnel Security Division. Mauritius Khan, IBS, European Division. Jawahar Khalsi, IBS, Near East Division. H. Roth Neufer, IRS, the Agency Library. Joseph F. Privatera, IOC. Virginia M. Quinlisk, IOA, Joint Board of Examiners. Isa K. Sabah, PAO, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, here on home leave. Eldred C. Shirk, IRS, Area Analysis Division. Stanley M. Silverman, IOA, Budget Division. Semi Usten, IBS, Central Program Services Division. Harry S. Weaver, IBS, Technical Services Division. Next, we have the Unit Meritorious Service Awards. Three of our units are to be recognized for these awards. As the name of the unit is called, will all its members rise and stand as the award is presented. First award is to the Office of Private Cooperation. And the award will be accepted by the Director of the Office of Private Cooperation, Sanford Marlowe. Next, Regional Service Center, Manila staff. And the award will be accepted by two local employees from RSC Manila. Mr. Nestor Chipangan and Mr. Adalardo Reflores. Next award is the Worldwide English Division of the Broadcasting Service. The award will be accepted by Gerald Stryker, Chief. Members of staff. We now come to the Superior Service Awards. And I will read the name of the recipient and the citation. First award is to Mrs. Ruth Adams, IPS, America Illustrated Branch, for superior service and especially for outstanding editorial creativity. Judgment and staff leadership as editor of America Illustrated Magazine, which is widely noted for depicting the United States to the peoples of Poland and the USSR in their own languages. Robert J. Clark, IBS Program Manager, for superior service, and especially for his exceptional contribution to policy control and coordination of Voice of America broadcasts, and for outstanding performance as Chief Liaison Officer between the Voice of America and the Office of Policy. Ms. Stella E. Davis, IAA, formerly in Dar es Salaam, Tanganyika, for superior service, devotion to duty, and especially for exceptional imagination, judgment, and resourcefulness in carrying out an outstanding cultural and information program in Tanganyika. Sydney Galanti, ITV, Office of Program Manager, for superior service, outstanding initiative, and creative achievement in the development, direction, and production of the Let's Learn English television series of 130 programs. Anthony Gorko, IMS, for superior service, sustained, dedicated performance with the United States Information Agency, and for demonstrating outstanding leadership and ability in all phases of the agency's motion picture work, from the administrative to the creative. Miss Eleanor Halley, Belo Horizonte, Brazil. This award will be accepted by Houston Ryan, Assistant Director for Latin America. For superior service, dedicated devotion to duty, extraordinary leadership, and for an outstanding, sustained contribution to the accomplishment of USIA's information and cultural aims in Latin America, reflecting credit on the cultural achievements of the American people and generating a wholesome respect and admiration for the work of American women. Nguyen Van Hoang, Saigon, Vietnam. This award and the next two will be accepted by Dr. Kenneth Bunce, Assistant Director for the Far East. For superior service, outstanding perseverance and performance in assisting with the development of an information program in the Central Mountain area of Vietnam, among the people of this region, and especially for exhibiting courage when under enemy attack. You can stay there, Ken. Next award is to Gordon W. Murchie, Bangkok, Thailand. For superior service, wise leadership, energetic imagination, determination, and dedication to duty, and especially for developing friendly troop community relations between the Thais and U.S. Marines of all ranks. And once again, Boon Pony Sawat of Vientiane, Laos, for superior service, for consistently demonstrating a degree of initiative, courage, and devotion to duty far surpassing that required by his position, for braving constant danger with the ever-present possibility of loss of life, and for unhesitatingly accepting sacrifices and hardships attendant upon the performance of his duties, in reflection of the highest standards of United States government foreign service. The next award is to Mrs. Patricia G. Van Delden, The Hague, Netherlands, and this award will be accepted by Chester H. Opel, Assistant Director for Europe, for superior service and performance in informational and cultural activities, for leadership and outstanding contribution to international understanding, and for high achievement in representing the United States abroad. Uh, We now have two unit superior service awards. And once again, when the unit is named and the citation is read, I would appreciate if all members would stand. Latin American Division of IBS. The award will be accepted by Eugene Karst, chief of that division, for superior service and outstanding performance in the accomplishment of agency policy and program objectives when the Soviet offensive arms buildup in Cuba threatened the world with nuclear war. The second unit superior service award, the News Division of IBS. Award will be accepted by Jerome Thies, chief, for superior service, dedicated devotion to duty, and especially for maintaining a high standard of excellence in a year marked by a succession of difficult and sensitive news stories that reached a climax with the Cuban crisis. We now come to the highest honor that the agency can bestow, the Distinguished Service Award. One of these awards was presented earlier this year in Greenville to Henry Loomis, director of IBS. And because all of the agency could not be present then, I think it would be fitting if Henry would stand. Today we are presenting with pride a Distinguished Service Award to Burnett Anderson, Assistant Deputy Director of Policy and Plans, for distinguished sustained service to the United States Information Agency in a succession of its most complex and difficult assignments, for consistent leadership and outstanding skill in public administration, for major contributions to the execution of specific, difficult agency projects, for unswerving loyalty to the public service and to his superiors, for consistent devotion to duty, for personal integrity, and a warmth of human understanding which have won him unusually widespread esteem and affection. Before the meeting is concluded, I would like to thank the United States Marine Band and Captain King for playing for us. That concludes our ceremony for today. If we could all stand for the national anthem, please.